of his devices. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, thank you for your word that you've given us. Lord, thank you for the pastor that you've given us here that's going to preach your word straight and true, and it has and will. Lord, we just thank you for it. I just pray that you'd open our hearts tonight for whatever it is you might have. Lord, as we hear about our enemy, I pray that we would be aware. I pray that we would take heed, Lord, lest we be taken advantage of. Lord, we love you. I just pray that you work in our hearts and lives tonight as only you can. Father, we'll praise you for everything that's done. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, ladies. That was a blessing. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we find our text tonight, and continuing our series on knowing your enemy, and knowing the devil that we're fighting against. The believer knows that Satan is his enemy. We are well aware that Satan is our enemy, that he's real out there. We know that Satan is trying to take us down. His desire is to get us out of the will of God. His desire is to get us out of doing what God would have us to do. And it's wise, as we've been looking at Scripture, we know that it's wise to know or be aware that of the tactics that the devil is going to use to take us out of the race, like we spoke on this morning, that race that God has us in. I want to know the tactics that the devil's going to use to try to take me out. Verse 11, we see it, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul says, I'm not ignorant of the way he's going to work. And Satan's going to use some tactics, he's going to use some weapons to try to sneak in our lives and to try to pull us from the will of God in our lives. I'm reminded of the story of Peter. Remember, Peter, one of the 12 disciples of Christ, and before Christ went to the cross, you remember Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan hath desired you that he would sift you like wheat. You remember that statement? And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. Jesus warned Peter, hey, the devil's after you. Satan, in that statement that Christ made towards Peter, note there that Satan had to get permission from God in order to bring on that attack. Satan hath desired. He's requested that he have you. He says that he may sift you. Who was Jesus talking about when he said you? The you is a plural you. You study it out, it's a plural you. He's not only talking Satan's desire to have you, Peter, but the disciples as a whole. Well, what did Satan desire to do? To sift them like wheat. What does it mean to sift like wheat? If you understand the concept of sifting wheat and in that process of sifting anything, the certain particles will go through that, what is it called? Strainer or whatever you want to call it, the holes there, and then the certain other particles will be left. It separates. It's a separating process. And what did the devil desire to do to Peter and to the disciples? To separate them, to ruin their faith, to pull them from God's work, to pull them from God's will and their life. And Peter, Christ says to Peter, hey, heads up, the devil's going after you, Peter. He's going after the disciples. He wants to separate you. He wants to pull you from God's work. And I got to understand, the devil's trying to do the same thing for me. He's trying to sift me. He's trying to like the chaff that the wind driveth away. That's what he's trying to see in my life, that I'm like a chaff that the wind blows away and I'm out of the will of God. I'm off that track that God has for me. And that's what the devil wants. And we want to know our enemy in order that we can guard ourselves from that. So we'll continue on the thought this evening, knowing your enemy. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. We'll get into tonight. Lord, I'd ask you, please fill me. Lord, use me. Lord, we have a real devil out there. And he is really after us, trying to destroy us. Lord, he's going to do everything he can. Maybe be alert to that. Maybe be responsible with trying to defend ourselves, but then also bring the attack to him, Lord, in making sure that we're on the offensive in our Christian life. Lord, I'd ask you, please meet the need of the hour tonight. Lord, even tonight, some are being attacked by the devil even this evening. Lord, I'd ask you to strengthen them, that they might have victory in their life, like was just sung a few minutes ago. We ask this all in your precious name. Amen. Of course, we mentioned that Satan's attack is a threefold attack. The first target, you remember the first target that the devil's going to have against the Christian? The first target is on the mind. The mind. Some of y'all are pointing to the mind there. And he's going to try to cause doubt. He's going to try to cause disdain. He's going to try to cause an attack, distrust on the mind. And the weapon that he's going to use on the mind is lies. We looked at how the devil is a father of lies. And so he's going to try to attack your mind. The next target that we looked at that the devil's going to wage on our life is, you remember from last week? The heart. After he goes after the mind, we saw it with Eve. He's going to go after your heart, young people. The devil, he's going to attack your mind, try to cause lies in your mind. Then he's going to go after your heart. He's going to try to get your heart. Why? Because he wants to pull you from the will of God. He wants you to turn from God's work. And that's the devil's second target there, the third target. Tonight we'll go on the third target, and the last target that we'll look at, the devil's going to attack the body. The body. Job is an example of the devil's attack on the body. Turn over to Job chapter 1 this evening. Job chapter 1. Once again, biblical principles found throughout all the Bible, how the devil attacks, and what a great example we have here. God teaches us some principles about the devil's attack, and we find in Job chapter 1, verse number 6 there, and we see Satan's attack on Job in a physical realm, on his physical body. He's going to go after Job. Why? Because he wants Job out of the will of God. He wants Job to fall from God. He wants Job to deny God. And so he's going to work hard. And we see Job chapter 1, verse number 6. In fact, let's read a few verses here. Are y'all there? All right, let's look at it. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. We mentioned this on Wednesday night. Those are the angels. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. What was Satan doing going to and fro? He's as a lion seeking whom he may devour. That's what he was up to. Go on, let's read. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? He says, hey, have you paid attention to my servant Job? I hope God can say that about me. Hey, are you paying attention, Satan? Look at I got a servant out there. Go on, verse number 9. Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou made an hedge? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thine hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. What was the goal of the devil right here? To get Job to curse God, is it not? To deny God, to say, God, I'm through with you. And that's the devil's plan. That's the devil's goal right here. That the Christian would say, God, I'm through with you. I don't want any more. I don't want to serve you. To get the Christian to quit the Christian race. Verse number 12. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put forth not thy hand. So Satan, he goes to God. He desires to touch what Job has. And God allows him. He says, okay, devil. You can touch what Job has, but don't touch his body. Why does God allow this? Why would God allow Satan to touch things in our life? There's a few reasons, no doubt, and we can't always say we're not God. But I read, tribulation worketh patience. Sometimes the devil is allowed to work in our lives because tribulation worketh patience. God's trying to mature us into what we're supposed to be. Maybe that's the reason. There's other reasons that maybe that God allows it. But you see, Satan received power over everything else except for Job's body. Verse 12, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. Satan used his power. Remember, Satan is the prince of the power of this air, is he not? He has power on this earth. And so Satan decides he's going to use his power that he has down here on this earth to attack, go after Job. And you read on, he went after Job's wealth, he went after Job's kids, he goes after everything that he can that God allows him to attack. Remember, Satan has power over this earth. Satan can use this world to wage war over the Christian. He can use this world to change circumstances to war against you and I, to attack against you and I. And what happened? Satan went after the heart and mind of Job. He tried to affect his mind, and even his wife. Curse God and die. You see the story here. Job's response, verse 21. How strong Job is. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now you see this. So the devil's waging war on Job, trying to get Job out of the will of God. And he attacks. And it says this about Job. In all this Job sin not. He stood firm. The devil's attacking. He says, hey, devil, you're not getting me out of the race. I'm not letting you into my mind. I'm not letting you into my heart. I'm not going to curse you with my mouth. I'm staying true. We see that the Christian here is getting the victory. But notice what the devil, that sly old devil of ours, notice what he does next. Verse 4, Satan comes back to God. And Satan answered the Lord. God says, hey, what do you think about Job? Hey, how's he doing against your attacks, Satan? Now notice what Satan says. He answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Hey, we'll see what Job is made of. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth now thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Satan says, hey, let me touch his body, and you'll see that he'll turn on you. You know what? We have a perfect example here of the devil going after the body. He says, I can't have the mind, I can't have the heart of Job, but you go. Let me go after his body, and you'll see. I'll get him to turn on you, God. I'll get him to turn away. I'll get him out of God's will for your life. I believe the devil has that way in a lot of Christians sometimes. I can't get their mind, I can't get their heart, but man, I'm going to go after their body now. I'm going to see if I can take them out of the race by going after their body. I'm going to see if I can get them to quit. You watch, God. You'll believe you if I attack his body. If Satan can't get us out of God's will through our mind or our heart, he'll go after the body in effort to disable us from God's will. You know, something about the body. This vessel that we possess right here. This is required in order to do God's work. You understand that? I can't do God's work without a body. It's my mouth that's going to spread the gospel. If I can't open my mouth, it really limits me in how I'm able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's my feet that are able to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's my hands that I'm able to use to build the work of the Lord. It's my body. It's the members of my body that does the work of God. You and I can only serve according to the ability that we're able to with their body. You follow me? There's people tonight, you sit in the pews, and you're limited in the amount of work that you can do for the Lord. Why? Because your body is limited. That's just a part of life. You see, our body is necessary in many cases in order to serve God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. In fact, turn over there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Want us to see this fact in the Bible. Our body is necessary in order to serve God. It's a crucial point there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'll give you a second to turn over there. Well-known verse here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your what? Bodies. He's specific here. What does God want of ours? He wants our body. Why? Because it's our body that's able to do the work of God. It's our feet, it's our hands, it's our mouth, it's our ears. Our body does the work of God. God uses my body. Romans chapter 6, turn over a few pages to the left. Romans chapter 6, verse number 13, look at this. It's right here. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. What are our members? What is he talking about? Our members there. Our body parts, our body members. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, once again, our body members it's talking of there, as instruments of righteousness unto God. God desires that I use the members of my body to serve God. Hey, you have a voice? God wants you to use it to sing. God wants you to use it to glorify Him. God wants you to use it to spread the gospel. You have feet, God wants you to use it to carry the gospel. You have hands, God wants you to use those hands to do the work of God. Our bodies is what God uses for God's work. Are you with me tonight? I'm trying to lay some foundation here so you understand the devil's going to attack our body. Why? Because it's our body that's used as his tool. You follow me? If the tool is disabled, it's not much good. You ever try to use an axe where the axe head won't stay on? Not only is it dangerous, but it's not very effective. I had an axe like that. Every time I tried to take a swing, that axe head, it was loose. It was going up and down. Now, it didn't come off the end, but up and down. You can't use it for anything. I threw it away. It's no good. If the devil is able to disable our body, man, he could be really effective in limiting God's work. Am I right? So he's going to attack my body. He's going to attack my body. Satan's going to use circumstances that he's in control of to go after the body and get us out of God's will. Let me look at a few weapons tonight against the body that Satan's going to use, and we'll go to the house. Number one weapon that Satan's going to use on our bodies. Number one, Satan can attack us, first of all, with illness. With illness. I'm not saying every cold and every cough that you have is an attack by Satan. Some people, man, they get a hacking just a little bit. That's the old devil. Some of it, it's not by the devil. Sometimes illness is just a part of nature. We have a sin-cursed earth. And sometimes it's just part of nature and part of the sin-cursed earth. Sometimes illness is sent by God for God's glory. You realize that in John chapter 9, that old blind man sitting by the wayside. And as Christ walked by with his disciples, the disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus said to them, "Neither. He was born blind that it might glorify God." You see, God was going to use that man, his illness, his disease, so that God can heal him and God can get the glory from it. And so sometimes illness in our life is sent because in some way God's going to get the glory from it. Sometimes illness is in our life because of our fault. Sometimes we don't take care of ourselves and that's why there's illness. We'd like to blame the devil or blame something else, but sometimes it falls on our shoulders. I'm not getting too many amens there. Just wait for Sunday school next week. We looked at it in teacher's meeting. Ouch. Ouch. You understand? Our body is a temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. "What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, you're not your own." This body right here, it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of me. The church house. We call it the house of God. You don't want to disrespect the church house. That's why we take hats off in church, gentlemen. That's why there's certain things. That's why I dress up for church. It's a house of God. That's why I'm respectful. It's a house of God. You realize this temple right here, this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. There ought to be some respect for it. We need to take care of it. Your body is a temple of God. Your body is a tool of God. And the Christian, let me say this, this is a side note, it's not the main gist of the message, but the Christian ought to take care of the temple of God. Just like the Christian should take care of this physical temple or this physical house of God, the church, the Christian has a responsibility of taking this care of this temple that God gave me, this vessel that God gave me, staying healthy, taking care of our body, eating right, all those. I know it's not a fun thing. I poke a lot of fun at it. In fact, we were looking at it this evening. You know how our Sunday school, for those that are in Sunday school, it has the am I, fill in the blank test to tell me how I'm doing at the biblical principle. And so it had the am I healthy test. And one of them was, do I poke fun at healthy people because I am not? Ouch, you got me there, God. You got me there. I know sometimes we make fun of this, but the truth of the matter is, I need to take care of this body. I need to eat right. I need to try to take care of this body that God has given me. Why? Why? Because, Christian, if you let your body go, you can't serve God like you can if you take care of that body. And there's people I know that have limited... Pay attention now. Hey, young people, it's not time to mess around. Pay attention. There's people that have limited what they can do for God because they don't take care of their body. There's evangelists that I know that they have to come off the road because they haven't taken care of their body. Now, other times it's due to other factors. I'm not saying it's always our fault. But I can do all I can do. There are some people who are not limited in their service to God, some people that are limited in their service for God, not because it's God's fault, not because it's the devil's fault, but it's our fault for not taking care of our body. But at some times, let me say this, illness does come from the hand of Satan. At times it does come from the hand of Satan. At times the devil does attack by disease. At times the devil does attack by illness. He wants to stop God's work from being done. He wants to stop us from growing. He wants us to stop from growing in grace. Job chapter 2, verse number 7, it talks about, look at, in fact, you're in Romans. Let's turn back over to Job. Job chapter 2, verse number 7. We see this attack that the devil wages. He doesn't get Job's heart. He doesn't get his mind. But he says, I'm going after his body now. And look at what the devil does to Job's body. Look at what the devil does to Job's body here. Job chapter 2, verse number 7. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. He takes off. What does he do? He goes straight to Job. Hey, I got permission now. I'm going after this sucker. And he goes down to take him down. And the Bible says, he smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. You're talking all the way from the bottom of his foot all the way to the top of his head was covered in boils. I can't say I've ever had a boil. Maybe there's some here tonight that have experienced that before. What I understand, they're very painful. And Job, all of a sudden, he goes from his health is still good now, he's lost everything, to his health totally crippling his whole body. Head to toe, boils. The Bible says he sat in an ash heap, just scraping, taking a pot, scraping those boils off his skin. They hurt so bad. Just trying to have some relief. What was that? Was that a part of nature? No. Was that Job not taking care of himself? No. It's all on attack from the devil. At times I look around and I see Christians suffering. I believe, no doubt in my mind, I see situations where I believe it's the devil's attack. I believe the devil can use cancer. I believe the devil can use disease. I believe that the devil can use these things to attack our life. Why does he want to do that? If somebody's suffering from that, they're limited in what they can do for God. Hey, if I can't get their heart, if I can't get their mind, hey, God, let me after their body. Maybe I could get them that way. And why does God always allow it? I can't say why God always allows it. God knows, and I got to trust him through all it. But understand, the devil's going to attack. He's going to attack. The devil desires to destroy the work of a faithful Christian. Hey, you're faithful. The devil wants to ruin you. That's just the truth of the matter. You read about Paul. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul dealt with a physical attack from Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He talks about it openly. Now, we don't know exactly what this physical attack was. I personally believe maybe he didn't share exactly what this attack was because he wanted to be able to relate with all of us. Because we all deal with different ailments. And you know how it is. When we deal with an ailment and somebody else has an ailment, they don't know what I feel like. You know how that is. Because not what I'm dealing with. And Paul, he doesn't say what it is. He just says it's a thorn in the flesh. In fact, notice that phrase as we read this verse, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now it was in the flesh, it was physical. A physical attack. Now who was this by? The messenger of who? Satan, to buffet me, to beat me up, to afflict me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul says right here, I had a thorn in the flesh, I had a physical ailment, I had something that I was fighting, and it was given by Satan right here. Now scholars think it was a painful thing in the eyes, possibly. They're not exactly sure what this thorn was, but Satan, no doubt, was using it to try to hinder Paul's work in the ministry. Now, I want to get Paul out of the ministry. If I can hinder his work, if I could stop his missionary journeys, man, I could prevent a lot of people from being saved. I could prevent churches from being started. You see how the devil works on the body to try to cease God's work? The devil's attacks, understand, they're very real. They were real in Paul's life. They're real in our lives. But what can the believer do when the devil attacks physically? Let me say this. Do not let the devil's physical attack keep you down. Fight all you can. Now, there comes a point in time when some diseases and illnesses come. Man, I'm limited. I can't help that. But I'm going to do all I can to fight. I think of the evangelist, Ted Houston. He's been here a number of times with us. Diagnosed with cancer. He got recent news a few months ago that it's progressing in his body. It's very easy for an evangelist to say, you know what, I'm done. I'm dying. Let me go enjoy my wife and kids for a little bit while longer. What's the point? But I thank God that he's an example of somebody that says, you know, the devil might throw these things at me, but I'm going to persevere and keep on. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep going forward. Hey, there might be some painfulness with it. There might be some hardships with it, but there's still a work to be done. Press on. Do your best not to let the devil get you out of the race because of that illness, because of that ailment, because of that hurt and that pain. Do your best to stay with it. As long as you can, keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep going on for Christ. Do all you can to fight through and keep on going. Secondly, know that God allowed it. Know that God allowed it. What peace comes with knowing that God allowed what's going on in my life? Job, the boils. Did God allow the boils? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. God allowed those boils. And Job understood that. And that's why he didn't curse. God allowed this for a reason. Satan had to request permission. If God would have said, hey, permission denied, it wouldn't have happened. Understand, God has me there for a purpose. God used Paul's thorn in the flesh to keep Paul humble, to make him a candidate for God's grace in his life. You see, there was reason for that thorn in the flesh. There's reason when God says, I'm going to allow that. What the devil means for evil, I love it. God can use for good. Hey, what the devil goes after, he throws those darts at us, he tries to destroy the body, and God says, hey, I'm going to allow you to do that, but you watch what I'll do with this. And so you stay the course, you don't quit, and you know that God is in on it, God is allowing that, and God will get the glory and the honor. And understand that as you go through the devil's attack, I can rest in the assurance that God allowed whatever this is. Hey, he's still in control. He's still in control. He's still on his throne. Satan's attacks on our body may leave us limited, but his attacks don't leave us helpless. Say tonight, Pastor, I'm limited because the devil's had some attacks on my body. Hey, it hasn't left you helpless. It hasn't left you hopeless. There's still a God working. I'm only left hopeless when I decide to allow the devil's attacks to win in my life. Satan is going to attack the body through illness. Number two, Satan, how can he attack her body? Secondly, I believe he's going to attack her body with idleness. With idleness. Satan attacks the believers that are doing something. Look, why would Satan attack the guy that's not doing anything? Who do you go after in wartime? You know, as our troops are overseas and the stuff going on in Turkey and all that's uprising, when two countries are fighting one another, we go to war against a country. Who do you go after? The guy on the out on the battlefield that's picking his nose, right? No, you get the threat, right? What's the biggest threat? I want the guy that's a threat, and that's who I want to take out. That's why you go after a Saddam Hussein, a threat. That's why you go after the leader. They're a threat. That's why you go after people that they're going to cause some damage. Who is the devil going to go after, Christians? The ones that are a threat to him. Hey, if we're sitting on the sidelines, just enjoying life, and all about the temporal and material and doing nothing for God and doing squat for God, the devil's sitting back laughing and saying, hey, I already got them. I'm not going to fight them. You know, sometimes you wonder, that person's doing nothing for God and it seems like everything's going smooth. Why? Because the devil's not going to wage anywhere warfare against them. Why? He's already got them. Understand, the reason it's so difficult in life at times is because the devil really wants you. You're doing something for God. You say, why? I'm trying to serve God with my life. I'm trying to do things right. And it seems like everything negative is happening. Why is that, Pastor? It's because the devil doesn't want you to serve God with your life. Understand, when I start getting my life in order, the devil, I told somebody this yesterday. They recently got saved, making decisions for the Lord. Pastor, we want to get our family in the right direction. I want to serve God. I said, hey, that is wonderful. Understand the devil's going to come after you. And just get ready to fight because it's worth it. And so I got to buckle down and understand the devil's going to try to fight. But understand this, what is he going to try to do? He's going to try to fight with idleness. What do you mean, Pastor? He's going to try to make sure we're like the rest, doing nothing. Because if he could get me doing nothing like the rest doing nothing, hey, everything's fine and dandy for him. He's going to fight with idleness in our life. Idleness. Understand the devil's warfare. I want to protect against it. The second attack the devil's going to launch against her body is an idle body. You've heard the saying before, idle hands are a devil's workshop. Am I right? We teach that to our kids. Keep them busy. I thank God that I had a dad that kept me busy. He knew that idle hands were a devil works was a devil's workshop. Hey, summertime's here, young people. Summertime's here. Stay busy. Stay busy. Idle hands also, they say idle hands are the devil's tools. Heard a statement, one who is idle will likely come to do evil. That's just the truth. When we keep ourselves idle and we're doing nothing with our life, many times we find those things that are no good in our life. The devil wants the Christian to sit still and do nothing for Jesus. There's a problem. I've heard it said from parents before. Well, they're not bad kids. They just don't do anything. And I appreciate the fact that they're not out in sin yet. But if you allow your kids to do nothing, they're going to end up in sin. I got to understand that principle. The devil wants idleness in our lives. The devil wants an idle Christian that's doing nothing. There's danger in idleness. Hey, on the crest of idleness is wickedness. And the devil's going to try to make you idle in your life. He's going to try to make me idle in our life. Unoccupied, unused, unprofitable for God's work, unproductive for God. That's the devil's goal in all of this. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians, a few pages to the right, if you were in Corinthians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 11. We see Paul is addressing this idleness in the church. There were some that were idle. The devil got in on their life. Maybe he didn't get their mind. Maybe he didn't get their heart. But he says, I'm going to go after their body. I'll make sure that they're just doing nothing for God. Their members aren't serving God. They're just sitting around. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Are we there? For we hear that there are some which walk among you, what? Disorderly. Contrary to how you're supposed to walk. You're not walking right, Christian. There's some that are off course. That's what he's saying. What was this off course? Next statement. Working not at all, but are busybodies. Paul rebuked the Christians. What for? He says, here's your problem, Christians. You're not working. You're being idle in your Christian life. You're not staying busy for God. And there's a danger when we're not busy for God, then God's work is not getting done. And Satan says, hey, hooray for that. That's what I'm after. Nothing getting done for God's work. So watch, he's going to try to make us idle. He's going to try to, whether it be through lethargy and just being tired and worn out and saying, I'm not going to worry about that. Or apathy, not caring. He's going to try to make us idle in our Christian life. The devil wants to keep you idle instead of knocking the doors. Hey, if we're not out knocking doors, the lost are still going to hell. He'd rather keep us idle on Saturday morning and Thursday night. That's just what he wants. I'm just trying to say tonight. The devil wants to keep you idle from teaching a Sunday school class, trying to minister to somebody else's needs. He doesn't want you busy about God's work. The devil wants to keep you idle from working on a bus route, reaching these kids. The devil wants to keep you idle from serving at a nursing home. The devil wants to keep you idle from doing God's work. Why? Because there's a work to be done, and if Christians aren't doing it, who is? Say, Pastor, there's somebody else out there that will do it. If we all have that mentality, who's going to do God's work? Remember, we're His tools. Our members of our body are His tools. If my mouth isn't doing God's work, whose mouth is? If my hands aren't doing God's work, whose hands are? He wants to make us idle. He wants to disable us. Understand the devil's attack. He might not get you through your mind. He might not get you through your heart. But if he can keep your body from doing anything for God, the devil has succeeded. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 18. Understand what happens when God's people are idle. God's work falls apart. Not because God is not able. It's because God's people are not doing the work. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 18. You see it there? By much slothfulness, the building what? Decayeth. And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. I've driven by, and you have two churches where the church is just falling apart. We've all seen them. The doors are closed. It doesn't look like somebody's been there in 100 years. What happened in a church like that? At one time, they were preaching the gospel and going for God. They were reaching their community. What happened? God's people became idle in God's work. Is God not in the soul-saving business anymore? Is God not able to work anymore? Has He lost power? Has He lost ability? Help me out, church. No. The problem was with God's people, and they became idle. Satan says, I want to hinder them. Remember, his goal, get us out of the will of God. If I could get in there and make the Christian idle, God's work, like he says, decays. The building was decayed because of slothfulness and idleness. You want this church in another 50 years to be decaying and broken down, then God's people just cease doing the work. I can't let the devil win, Christian. I can't let the devil win in my life. You say, I'm guarding my mind, I'm guarding my heart, but guard your body too. Don't let him lie to you about this matter of not needing to do anything for God's work. I'm his tool, and I got to get busy about God's work. The believer is going to have to fight the devil's attack to have laziness, apathy, and idleness, but stay productive for God with his body. Use your members, as the Bible says, as instruments unto righteousness. Use your members. Lastly, we'll be done. Satan can attack through illness. Satan can attack through idleness, and then we'll look at Satan can attack with immorality. With immorality. The third physical attack I believe Satan will wage on the Christian to destroy the body is through immorality. He'll try to disable your body through illness. He'll try to make your body unproductive through idleness. But then I believe he'll try to defile your body through immorality. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I believe we've seen this in our country where the devil's war is waged. And man, he is attacking with immorality throughout our country. And you see something going on in our churches where a philosophy is coming about that God doesn't care what I do morally with my body. All is fine and dandy as long as I just love God. Our love for God is going to be connected with our body. You understand that? Spirituality goes hand in hand with morality. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, y'all there? Verse number 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some, look at this, there's some vessels to honor and some to dishonor. He goes on, if a man therefore purge himself, From these he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. He says there's many different vessels in the house of God. What is referred to as a vessel, our body is referred to as a vessel over and over and again in Scripture. There's vessels, he says, unto honor, and vessels to dishonor. There's bodies that please God, I believe, and there's bodies that displease God. He says right here, there's vessels meet for the master's use. Which means, follow me, Christian, there's vessels that are not meet for the master's use. They're unfit for the master's use. You follow me? If a vessel can be meet and fit for the master's use, then obviously there's vessels that are not fit that God says, I cannot use. He goes on to say, there are vessels prepared to be used for every good work. And so that must mean that there's vessels that are not prepared for the work of God. You see, there's vessels that God says, I can use that vessel for my work. I can use them in the will that I have for them. But then there are vessels that God says, this is a dirty vessel. And let me say this, a dirty vessel is just as good as a disabled vessel. He says there's some vessels in the house that bring honor, and man, I can use that, but then there's some dirty vessels that he just says, I refuse to use a dirty vessel. I'll get that vessel cleaned up, but I'm not going to use it dirty. If they'll allow me to, I'll wash it up and I'll clean it, and thank God that God cleans up the dirty vessels. Because otherwise we'd all be in trouble. But the problem is when the Christian refuses to clean up. He says, I can't use that. And the devil knows that. And so the devil, understand this, young person, understand, the devil is going to do what he can to make sure that your vessel, your body is dirty. Why? Because I can't be used by God the way that God wants to use me. Christian, the devil is going to do what he can to make sure our vessel is dirty. Why? Because the devil says, hey, if I get their vessel dirty, God's not going to be able to use that vessel. The difference maker is that the body that is fit for God's use, he says in this verse, is sanctified and purged. What is he saying? It's separated. It's separated. It's kept clean. It's set apart from the world to God. What is the devil going to do to attack your body? He is going to do his best to get your body defiled, to get your body dirty and unclean and unfit for God's use. Why? Because Satan wants to pull you out of God's will. And he's going to use immorality to do so. Satan's not stupid. He knows what the flesh wants. He knows what the flesh craves. And he's going to use that to wage war against us. Hey, the devil's going to attack with immorality. What are you talking about, immorality, Pastor? Immorality is not just one particular sin. A lot of times our mind goes to, well, immorality in the bedroom. You realize immorality is wickedness done within the body. It deals with a little bit more range there. What is the devil going to use? The devil's going to use drugs today. Man, you see it all over. I hear Christian schools where drugs is in the Christian schools. You know, what is the devil doing? The devil's trying to wage war and defile the body. Why? So that God's people can't be used. It's difficult to use a body that's defiled with drugs. I'm sorry, God's not going to. God can do what he wants, but God's not going to use a body like that. He's just not going to. Young person, you defile your body with drugs. God's not going to say, they're high, but what's the big deal? Marijuana, big thing of today. What's the big deal with marijuana? You defiling your body? Christian, your body is a temple, and I'm supposed to keep it pure so that God can use it. And I cannot have a pure body when I'm defiling with drugs in my life. The prescription drugs have made that drugs as a whole seem much more simplistic and not that harmful in our life. That's why I believe that's why marijuana is so popular anymore. Because prescription drugs, man, everybody's on drugs anymore. Got drugs for this, drugs for that. Man, most of the kids in our schools are on drugs. We have problems with their behavior, put them on a drug. We're walking on dangerous ground. We're walking on dangerous ground, Christian. Anything that we put in our bodies that alters this mind, that alters our thinking, that alters my speech, when I'm not in control any longer, somebody is. What is drugs? Drugs is a portal for the devil to work. Drugs goes right along hand in hand with alcohol. I'll get to that in a second. Hey, you want the devil's influence in our life? Then dabble with this thing of drugs. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Don't defile your body. Don't defile the temple of God, because God has a plan. He wants to use you, but he wants to use a pure vessel. The effects of drugs are proven, no doubt. The lung cancer from smoking, overdose on pills, liver disease, they eat away your health. Somebody on drugs, you just look at them, 20 years older. You can tell it's eating away their health. It's eating away their body. God cannot use you for His work when you're doing drugs and defiling His temple. Once again, that verse, what know ye not? Christian, what know ye not that your body is a temple? Young person, don't you know your body is a temple of God? Don't you know you're supposed to keep it pure? A defiled temple is a vessel of dishonor and is unfit for the master's use. You know what the devil's going to tell you? Just one time. Hey, just try it one time. Try this smoke one time. Try this pill one time. One time is all the devil needs. How many addicts out there? It was one time. It was one time, hey, try this. Some party that they go off to. Because you ought to flee that. Some of you young people, you get involved with parties and friends at school and somebody introduces you something. The Bible says flee those kind of friends. If you'll stand up like a Christian and walk like a Christian in your school, you're not going to have such a problem with these people coming up to you. If you love Jesus and you testify of Jesus in your school, you're not going to have these people saying, hey, how about you try a little bit of drugs at this party? They're going to want to stay clear of you. That's one of those Jesus freaks. Stay away from the drugs. Stay away from the just one time. One time is all it takes to get you hooked. There's been time and time again where it was just one time and all of a sudden something went wrong and that person's now dead. It's one time. That's what the devil wants to tell us. Why? Because he wants to destroy the body that we have to serve God with. The devil is using alcohol. Alcohol is another gateway for the devil. Once again, it alters how you think. It alters what you say. Hey, you're not in control. That bottle's in control. The spirit. Why is alcohol called spirits? Hello. Think a little bit, Christian. Because that's the influence of the spirit and not the Holy Spirit, the other spirits. And every time that you flip that cap and down one, what are you doing? Man, you're just inviting the devil's influence on your life. You're not controlling what you're doing when you get drunk. That old slewfoot, pay attention now, young people. Pay attention. Some of y'all are going to mess with this stuff. And I'm trying to warn you. This stuff is serious. You stay away from it. It's going to alter you. God says don't even look at it. Don't even put your eyes on the junk. The question is not how much is too much. The question is, should I even entertain it at all? Pastor, how much before I cross the line? The minute you decide it's okay to take a little bit is when you cross the line. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You let that drink deceive you and mock you. The Bible says you're a fool. Stay away from it. Stay away from the bottle. Why? Because it's going to ruin the body that God has for me. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine. The Christian is to stay away from the bottle altogether. Hey, you ought not even sit around it. Where's the days when the Christian would say, hey, if you're drinking, I'm not coming? Where's the days when the Christian wouldn't go to the work party because alcohol was there? Well, I need this or I need that. Where were the days where we had a backbone and said, I don't care. I'm not going to be around this stuff. That ruins lives. I'm not going to take that temptation. It seems like we've gotten soft and mellow towards this thing. It's a popular thing. It's just social. I'm sorry, the Bible says it's still wrong. Popular, social, or not. We ought to take a stand. Where are the days when we'd ask our family members, is there going to be alcohol there? Oh, there is. Sorry, we can't come. Not because we dislike our relatives, but because I can't be around that stuff. My kids can't be around that. I got to protect my testimony. I got to protect my kids. I got to protect myself. Alcohol. I got to stay away from the stuff. Don't let the devil have you to defile the body that God has given you. The devil's going to tell you, hey, you could just have a sip. The devil's going to tell you, oh man, if I had a penny for every time I heard this. Well, Jesus drank wine. Oh, God help you. Study it out. Learn what wine is talking about there, would you? He's not talking about alcohol there. It takes very little study to find that out. The devil's going to tell you it's really not that bad. Can I say, tell that to the bus kid this morning that had to get up by himself for the bus. He went and clothed himself this morning. He came to church hungry because mom and dad wasted all the money on booze. Mom and dad were hungover this morning, and he came out of that house because he wanted to come to church where somebody loved him. You tell me alcohol is not that bad. You tell me it's something to mess with. You tell that to the mom last night, the wife. Her husband beat her all night till early in the morning because he went out and got drunk. Didn't know what he was doing. She refuses to leave him because she loves him. You tell that to her. Alcohol's not that bad. That's the devil's tool there. And he uses it to destroy the body. The devil wants to destroy Christians' body with immorality to get them out of God's will. The devil's going to use drugs. He's going to use alcohol. The devil's going to use fornication. The devil desires to get the Christian involved in sexual sins to get him to fall out of God's will. Now, that word fornication, it has a realm, not just one sin there, but a realm of different sins. Pastor, what do you talk about? Talking about looking at the filthy magazines, looking at the internet sites. The devil's going to use that. That's a real tool out there. I don't think ever before, has it been such a temptation now that we have the phone. What a temptation. Everything's at our fingertips. I could pull up the internet on my phone. Can I say, parents, please, be so careful with your young people. Be so careful. We live in the age of technology, and everybody has a cell phone anymore, so we think, man, my kids need cell phones. And then they get the data plan. They're able to get on there, and they're able to view anything on there. You realize everything that they can access on their computer, they can access on their phone? You don't think that the devil knows what their flesh wants and is going to allow things to pop up? Now, I got to be careful. A parent would be very wise not to allow one of their kids to have any bit of alone time with cell phone, with laptop, with TV, with video games. You say, I want, you'd be amazed, video games anymore. You know why? Because the world knows that nudity sells things. And they'll throw it in video games. They'll throw it on this. They'll throw it on that. And your teenage boy, he's sitting there playing, and that pops up, and that vision, like the computer, it doesn't leave, and it's stuck there. And it's a draw for next time. You got to be so careful, parents. You got to be so careful. It would be so wise not to have a TV sitting in the room. Why? Because of the temptation there. It gets late at night, mom and dad are in bed, and I can kind of do what I want now. You don't think that flesh is going to fight? You don't think the devil's going to start working? You really think that your kid is that strong? Sometimes I believe that our kids, we think they're stronger than we were when we were kids. Let me say, and like it or lump it, parents, you got to be careful about the sleepover thing. Nothing good ever goes on past 10 p.m. Tell me something good that goes on past 10 p.m. that the kids have to be together for. You know what goes on? We start to talk about things we shouldn't talk about. We start to look at things we shouldn't look. Two teenage boys together, past that time, two teenage girls, things come up that should never come up. I'm just saying like it is. You got to be careful, opposite gender staying together. You remember when you were that age? Hormones get to driving? We had a few years ago before I became pastor, we had a few young people in the school. And, Junior liked Susie, and Junior had a sister who was best friends with Susie. And so they invited Susie over. We're going to have a good time and sleep over. Well, Mom caught Susie and Junior kissing and making out at 2 in the morning on the staircase. Why do I say that? I'm trying to say you got to understand that kids are flesh. And when you were that age, you were flesh. And I can't just let things go. I got to be wise. I'm trying to keep my kids pure and keep them right. And so I got to be wise in what I do. You follow me tonight? You with me? He's going to try the sight thing. You know, the internet, the magazines. The devil's going to use fornication that way. The devil's going to use fornication in a matter of physical intimacy outside the bonds of marriage. Why? The devil wants to destroy your body through immorality. Look at how Satan went after Joseph. What did he do? He put a good-looking woman in front of Joseph that said, hey, I want you. The devil knows what our flesh wants. Look at what he did to David. You read through the Bible. Look at what he did to Samson. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We got to set up boundaries to keep ourselves from the devil's attack. That's how it works. He's going to go after the young as well as the old. I set up some boundaries. Why? To protect myself. That's what I'm doing. Hey, young people, let me help you out, young people. Mom and Dad set up some rules, some boundaries, and we think they're trying to keep us from something. I take my girls to the Feline Rescue Center. Anyone ever been there? Feline Rescue Center? They got all those big cats. They got fences up. It would be foolish for my girls to think that I'm trying to keep them from fun because there's fences up there. No, there's fences up to keep them from harm. Young people, don't get to thinking Mom and Dad are starting to make rules and they're putting rules in my life and they're trying to keep me from harm. No, those fences are there to protect you from this lion, the devil, trying to devour you. Mom and Dad say no about something. Well, you did this in the past. Mom and Dad say no about something. They're just trying to help you. Don't get all up in arms. Understand, hey, they're trying to be a blessing to me. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? We talked about that. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He says, flee fornication. Did you catch that? Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. The Bible says right there, flee fornication, stay away from it. Why? Because it's going to affect you spiritually. That's what the devil's going to use to attack you. He says, keep yourself pure, keep yourself clean, keep yourself holy. Christians, don't put yourself in a situation where you're going to defile the body that God has given you. The devil's goal is to get the Christian out of God's will by using immorality. And that's what he's saying right there. Stay away from it. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Let me give this to you. We'll be done. Chapter 7, verse 1. Look at verse 19 and 20 first. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Hey, that's why I don't commit fornication, because my body is a temple, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Hey, in your body, you evangelicals, in your body, did you catch that? It's important how I live. And in your spirit, which are God's. Verse 1. How do I do that? Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. You know what he's saying right here? You know what he's saying? How do I prepare for the devil's attack against my body when it comes to immorality? I put the fence up before the cliff. You catch that, young person? So God says, I don't want to go off the cliff over there. I want to keep myself pure. And so I'm not going to put a fence right on the edge of the cliff. I'll go right up to and then I'll stop. No, he says, if you're going to do this right, if you're going to protect yourself from the devil's attack, let's build a fence over here. He says, don't even touch. And guess what? The cliff down there, you're pretty safe. You're pretty safe from harm. He's teaching us a principle, parents. If I'll build some fences over here rather than right by the cliff, I can stand a chance against the devil's attack. It's a little bit easier to stand my ground. I don't have a big cliff right behind me that the devil's fixing to push me off of. Build some boundaries. Build some fences before that time comes. Hey, young people, maybe your parents don't have these boundaries and fences. Maybe they're not very concerning as far as this matter in your life. Decide I'm going to build them for myself. God wants me to stay pure. He wants me to stay clean. He wants to use my body for His honor, for His glory. And so I'm just going to put some fences up by myself and make sure I don't cross those fences. I don't cross those lines. I don't got to wait for Mom and Dad to do it. There's some point in time I got to make those decisions for myself anyways. There's some point in time I got to become an adult and mature and decide what I'm going to do with my life. Understand, the devil's out there to take me out of God's will. How is he going to do it? Well, we see tonight, he's going to do it through idleness, trying to get us to do nothing, illness, sickness, trying to disable us, and then through immorality. Why? He wants to defile. He wants to defile the body. So what am I going to do? I'm going to be aware of the devil's attack. Like he says, be sober, be vigilant. I'm going to wake up and be aware he's after me. I'm going to put some things in place, some fences, that he doesn't get me with immorality. When he starts fighting me with illness, I'm not going to let him defeat me with that. I'm going to understand, hey, God is still allowing this. He's still in control. I'm not going to get idle with God. I'm going to keep being productive as much as I can for God's work. Heads bowed and eyes closed. It's important that we know our enemy. It's important that we understand he's going to go after my body.